Good morning, and thank you for joining me on the Path to Liberty. It's Monday, November 18th, 2019. I hope you had an awesome weekend. I hope your week is off to a great start so far. So let's get into it. Today, this kind of blew my mind, but I guess it really shouldn't. But there was a recent poll that was done talking about Federal Reserve money, U.S. fiat money, Federal Reserve notes, the U.S. dollar, the world's reserve currency, as a lot of people call it. And only 7% of people in the poll knew correctly what the U.S. dollar is backed by. And that is absolutely nothing. Only 7% of people got this right. And way more people, it was almost a third of the people, still think that the U.S. dollar is backed by gold. So I want to talk about that because we've got a lot of education that needs to be done on this basic fact. Plus, I want to give you a brief overview of some actions that are happening or should happen on the state level to work to end the Fed from the bottom up, because there's no way that Washington, D.C. is ever going to stop its own printing press. First of all, my name is Michael Bolden. We broadcast live every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday at 9:30 a.m. Pacific time from here in my home office and studio in downtown Los Angeles for the 10th Amendment Center. We do a live version through video by DLive, Periscope, Twitch, YouTube, and Facebook. We also have archived video versions at Brighteon.com, BitChute, and BitTubers.com. We also have a podcast audio-only edition on iTunes, Spotify, Stitcher, Google Play, and elsewhere. You can find all of these platforms to follow us on. You can find all of our archives, all of our social media channels, ways to support us. For those of you who are members, thank you very much. If you want to support us for $2 a month, you can over on our website, but get all that info over at 10thamendmentcenter.com/path to liberty. Again, 10thamendmentcenter.com/path to liberty. And I've got a lot of reference links for this show. I will publish them all over at that same website about a half hour to an hour after the live broadcast is done. That way, if you want to find another episode I'm referencing or some of the articles or businesses that I talk about, that's where you're going to want to go. But first of all, before doing that, let's jump over into the live chat. Hi to Essential Freedom. You actually, you just watched the gold, closing the gold window video yesterday. This is absolutely an add-on to that as well. Hi to Bob Brewer, Andrew Nappy, and everyone else over on YouTube. Bob says, smashed. I appreciate those of you who are smashing the like button. All the platforms that you may watch or listen on, they're very easily triggered. So if you just hit the like button or share the link or leave a comment, it tells the algorithm to show the program to more people. So thank you for engaging me that way as well. Dan Reed says, USD is backed by hopes and dreams. Absolutely. Dale Hudson, fiat is slavery. Gold and silver are freedom. Frank I, the Fed, IRS, CFR, Fed income tax are all illegitimate and need to be abolished. And I agree. They aren't going to be abolished by anyone in Washington, D.C. I think that should be plainly clear now. That's why we need to, first of all, educate people on what's going on and then figure out strategies where we can pull the rug out from under these agencies, programs, platforms, and the like. Again, thank you everyone for spending a little bit of your time with me today. Let's get into this. First of all, just like Essential Freedom was commenting over on YouTube, he just watched this episode that I did back in August 16th, 2019, Funding the Monster State, FDR Nixon versus the Gold Standard. Basically, this was the day after that Richard Nixon closed the gold window. This was the last vestiges of the U.S. dollar being on the gold standard, where the U.S. dollar had any connection to gold at all. So that, I think, is a very important foundational episode. If you want to check that out, the link will be in the show notes after this live broadcast is done. But more importantly, for this episode, we published an article this morning by Mike Meharry, who also has been working for Peter Schiff, doing a lot of articles and podcasts like and research over at schiffgold.com. But he does amazing work on this for us as well. He published an article, U.S. Federal Reserve Notes, money. We put money in quotes for those of you who are just listening rather than watching. And I think that's essential because money is something. And these fiat dollars are basically they're a promissory note. They're fake money. They're a promise of having money. And so we consider them not real money, but that's why it's like that in the title, Money Backed by Nothing. And here from the article, I think this is incredibly interesting. At one time, the U.S. monetary system was backed by gold. And we know that the very end of that was in 1971. It was off the full gold standard for many years before that, but it totally ended in 71. And Mike writes, it's not backed by anything. But most Americans, he said, don't realize this. In fact, nearly a third of respondents to a recent survey believe the U.S. dollar is still backed by gold. I mean, I don't know where anyone even gets this idea. Where do they learn this? Are they making things up? Who's telling them this? I went to a government-run school, and I think the government-run school taught me that all problems needed a government solution. I learned all kinds of garbage, but I never heard anything about money or gold standards or any of this. And maybe I went to a bad school or a good school. I don't know. But it just blows my mind that nearly a third of people actually think the U.S. dollar is backed by gold. And here's a $20 bill. Somebody sent cash in the mail. I will take cash in the mail. We also accept cryptocurrency, credit cards, PayPal, all that stuff. But I don't see anything on here that says anything about gold. In God We Trust. Federal Reserve note. This note is legal tender for all debts, public and private. And we're going to talk about legal tender laws as well. But it doesn't say anything on the money about gold. But yet, nearly a third of people think the U.S. dollar is backed by gold. That is, there's gold bars sitting in Fort Knox. And the reason that this holds $20 worth of value is because it has corresponding $20 worth of gold in storage in the United States. Mike goes on. Only 7% of people polled got the answer right. The dollar isn't actually backed by anything. It was 29.3% that said the dollar was backed by gold. 4.1% said it was backed by oil. 5.8% said it was backed by bonds. And 23.6%, 24% confessed they simply didn't know. And that, I think, would be the best answer in this situation because we're not being taught this. Certainly, people can be curious and want to learn these things, but people who don't have that curiosity or interest in what's happening, why eggs that used to cost 99 cents a few years ago now cost $5.99 today. I remember getting, I've switched quality as well, but 99-cent eggs are probably $4 over just a short number of years. If you're not wondering why that's happening, other than the evil corporations are ripping us off, maybe that is what people are believing, then maybe you're going to want to understand what's going on with this money. Why is this money worth less? And we have the power of the internet to help us figure these things out. But 23.6% confessed they didn't know. 30% of those polled answered the dollar is backed by the U.S. government. It's not that it can be exchanged for anything, but maybe they actually understand what Dan Reed was saying in the live chat. It was like hope and faith of some sort. Let me see what he had to say, Dan. What did you say here? U.S. dollar backed by hopes and dreams. It's the power of the U.S. government, the fact that it is being used and demanded by the U.S. government. And maybe that is actually technically correct. And that's what Mike had to say in the article. He said that's a distinction, though, without a difference. When you strip away the semantics, this still means it's not backed by anything. Nothing. There's no backing. It's just printed paper. The dollar is what is known as fiat currency, Mike writes. That means it is not backed by a physical commodity such as gold or silver or oil or anything else, diamonds, whatever it may be. It has no one-to-one trade value. For those of you, and I happen to follow a lot in the cryptocurrency scene, there is a product called US Dollar Tether, USDT, where there's a lot of concern in that space. It is a cryptocurrency. It is a non-physical crypto coin that is supposedly backed one-to-one by U.S. dollars. From my understanding, the latest reports, they don't have a full audit yet, is that it's about 75% backed. And people in that space are complaining it should be 100%. But this tells us the same issue with U.S. dollars. If it's not backed by something and you can't trade it for something, eventually you get to the end of the line. And if that end of the line isn't willing to offer something else of value in exchange for the paper that you have in your hand, then you're going to run into a problem eventually. Anyways, Mike goes on. He says, fiat currencies derive their value from the fact that the issuing governments say they have value. That's going back to Dan Reed's great comment right off the bat over on Facebook. They sustain their value because the government maintains monopoly power over money, dictating that it only its fiat currency can serve as legal tender. And I'm going to touch base on this a little bit more based on some things that Ron Paul has talked about for many years just in a few minutes. And Mike goes on, he says, because gold or silver-backed money poses problems for governments. Governments don't want gold-backed money because of this. They cannot easily inflate the money supply. There always has to be a sufficient amount of metal to back the currency in circulation. And over the last couple of months, they've literally printed hundreds of billions of dollars. I'm not sure if it's $200 billion or $400 billion in order to prop up the markets. So the markets, if you follow this thing at all, they're at record levels. All the indexes are blasting through records. This tells us that it's the greatest economy in the history of the world. But if you have more dollars chasing the same amount of products, it's just going to cost more dollars to purchase those products or services or items or stocks or pieces of gold or whatever it really is. Inflation, when you get down to it, isn't the cost of goods rising. It's the amount of dollars getting larger. So as they print more and more money to prop up a very, very weak bubble economy ready to burst, things get more expensive and market prices go way higher. Mike goes on, governments and central banks can print fiat currencies at will. In a nutshell, fiat currencies allow governments to create money out of thin air to fund their vast expenditures. The warfare and welfare state in America would be impossible without the fiat currency and the central bank facilitating debt monetization. And we know that since they took the dollar off the gold standard, finally killed it in 1971, the U.S. dollar since 1971 has lost, and I covered this in that episode again, I'll pull it up for you guys looking here, the dollar has dropped 80% of its value in its purchasing power since 1971, while gold has gone from about $35, which was a forced restriction by government. They required it to be $35 an ounce for decades. And then it's gone up to about $1,500 today, $1,450, $1,460, $1,530, but a lot of change, while the purchasing power of this paper money has gone way, way down. Mike puts it this way, the purchasing power of the dollar continues to diminish every day, but this is just a shadow cast by the real truth. The dollar is effectively valueless. I mean, we hope it continues. I want to spend this $20. I want to buy a bunch of coffee, maybe some lunch, something like that. I've got to pay some bills, whatever it may be. I want this to continue having value, but in the long run, it's just hope whether or not it will. So let's go to Ron Paul. Here's an article in Cointelegraph.com from 2014 talking about how Ron was demanding legal currency competition back in 2011. So in Mike's article, he was talking about the governments that issue these fiat currencies. One of the reasons that they're able to pull this off is through legal tender laws. They have a monopoly on what is legal tender. And I'm not sure. I'll try pulling this up to the screen. Not a lot of people use, maybe. No, the focus doesn't work that close. But it says, this note is legal tender for all debts, public and private. So this is legal tender. And through legal tender, they're able to drive people to use this type of money. So Ron Paul had a plan. He introduced a Competition and Currency Act, Free Competition and Currency Act, back in 2011. He probably introduced something similar over many decades. But here from the article, his plan was threefold. One, eliminate legal tender laws. Two, eliminate laws prohibiting private mints. And three, eliminate capital gains taxes and sales taxes on gold and silver coins. And I'm going to cover that a little bit more in just a moment. And they say that Paul wasn't talking about cryptocurrencies back then in 2011. And he put it this way in his speech in support of this legislation. The only way to counteract this problem is to break the government monopoly on the issuance of money. the Constitution does not grant the federal government this monopoly, a fact which was not in dispute for nearly a century after the country's founding. The federal government has become complacent, forgetting the need for sound money. And the only way to break this complacency is to break the monopoly. I would only take issue with the notion that the federal government is complacent. They probably recognize the need for sound money if you want a stable currency, a stable economy, and a limited government. But government people don't want to limit their own power. So they don't want people to be aware of the fact that a gold standard or any kind of standard, honestly, really, it doesn't even have to be a gold standard, any type of thing that is other than just pure printable fiat, that it has a limit on the amount of supply, can restrict the power of government to spend on all kinds of stuff it's not supposed to be doing. Ron Paul goes on. He says, historically, legal tender laws have been used by governments to force their citizens to accept the debased and devalued currency. And that's a big issue. But we can take some steps on this on the state level, which I'm going to cover briefly. He says, just as pernicious are the sales and use taxes, which are assessed on gold and silver at the state level in many states. And Ron has actually come out and lobbied in support of these sound money types of legislation that we've been supporting for many years on the state level. He's even gone, traveled to Phoenix, Arizona, to testify in a small committee hearing of a few dozen people with, I think it was 6 or 7 state legislators in Arizona in the state house, in support of legislation to take on these issues. He said, imagine having to pay sales tax at the bank every time you change a $10 bill for a roll of quarters to do laundry. Inflation is a pernicious tax on the value of money. And he's really, again, getting into what I was talking about earlier, which I really learned from Ron Paul as well, that inflation isn't just the cost of goods going up. It really is more money, the increase of the money supply causing a higher price. He said, even the official numbers, which are massaged downwards, are only on the order of 3-4% per year. Now, if you really want to follow what's going on at state level, there are 3-5 steps that really need to be taken on the state level to chip away against this monopoly on money creation, on legal tender laws, and to help bring it down. And our friends over at the Sound Money Defense League probably do the best work of anybody on this. JP Cortez blogs for us. There's a whole team of people there. They are keeping track of what's going on a state-to-state level. They work very closely with state legislators. So if any state legislators are interested in this, you definitely want to get in touch with the people at soundmoneydefense.org. And here, and I'll put this link in the show notes, we'll have our own version of this up on our updated tracking site in the near future. But this is really the best place to see what's going on as far as legislation and laws on gold and silver as money on a state-to-state level. They have a nice map. You just click and see what's going on in your state, and you can find out what needs to happen next. And I mentioned 3-5 things that have to happen. And Sound Money Defense League put it this way. We are taking a multi-pronged approach to removing the shackles that bound sound money. Our strategy is based in making changes to state sales tax on precious metals purchases and state capital gains taxation on precious metals holdings, while working to establish state gold depositories, reestablishing gold and silver as money, and encouraging states to hold reserves in precious metals. So let's go through some of these things so it makes a little bit more sense on what's going on. First of all, we're talking about removing a sales tax on the exchange of gold and silver. They're treating gold and silver as property, something that you buy, instead of treating it as money when you do that. So when you go to a department store and you buy a t-shirt or a book or a piece of furniture, you generally have to pay sales tax. I think it's ripping you off, but that's another episode. Maybe someone else might do. I don't know if that's in my wheelhouse. But they charge you sales tax. They're doing the same if you're buying gold and silver or even making a purchase with gold and silver. So let's take a look at this. Mike Meharry put it this way. Imagine if you asked a grocery clerk to break a $5 bill and he charged you a 35-cent tax. That would be selling the $5 bill or buying $5 in change for the $5 bill. You're not making a swap of money to money. So when you recognize one thing as property and the other thing as money, then the property is going to be charged a sales tax because it's a purchase. It's not an equal exchange. He says, this is silly, right? After all, you are only exchanging one form of money for another. But that's essentially what a sales tax on gold and silver bullion does. And this is from a report about Kansas over the last summer. They actually had a law that went into effect that removed this sales tax in Kansas, HB 2140. Mike goes on, he writes, by removing the sales tax on the exchange of gold and silver, Kansas will treat specie as money instead of a commodity. This represents a small step forward, reestablishing gold and silver as legal tender and breaking down the Fed's monopoly on money. This is what Ron Paul had to say in testimony in Arizona that I mentioned. He said, we ought not to tax money. It makes no sense to tax money. So Kansas took this step, removing this small roadblock to the use of gold and silver as money, as it should be. Going forward, number two, remove capital gains tax. In Arizona, this is the piece of legislation that Ron Paul personally went to lobby in support of, House Bill 2014 from Representative Mark Fincham, who's done a lot of great work on this over the years. This was passed and signed into law in 2017 after about four or five efforts. It was vetoed by Jan Brewer, and then it was vetoed like three times in a row. Then it was vetoed one or two times by Ducey. And then finally, Ron Paul comes out and brings a lot of attention to it. And I think the governor at that point, the same one who had vetoed the same bill the year before, or almost the same bill, decided to sign it. But passage of HB 2014 removes the amount of any net capital gain derived from the exchange of one legal tender for another. So what happens? Let's say you want to go to a local store and you've got $10 worth of gold that you bought 10 years ago. Now it's worth 20 bucks. These are all just hypotheticals. If you buy something with that $20 gold piece, or electronic means, whatever it may be, you first have to pay the state a tax on the gain from $10 to $20. It could be 10%, it could be 5%, could be 18%. It just depends on the state, it depends on the rate, depends on how much. So there's a calculation that goes down on that. And so then this is another roadblock. Why would people use gold and silver as money? Why would people use cryptocurrency as money in the same type of a scenario if they're either being charged sales tax on exchanging it because it's treated as property, or they're being charged a capital gains tax on it because it's not recognized as money, it's recognized only as an investment? Mike puts it this way. In other words, individuals buying gold or silver bullion or utilizing gold and silver in a transaction would no longer be subject to state taxes on the exchange. They call it capital gains, and you're just converting one type of currency for another, or you're making a purchase and they want to get their grubby hands on it in case that increased in value. And mind you, it really isn't increasing in value. It's just costing more fiat money, more US dollars to purchase that same thing, which represents a kind of a paper capital gain, but not a real one. You haven't actually gotten richer. You're probably buying the same amount of things. I've seen some examples on how like 1 ounce of gold or 1 ounce of silver bought a pair of shoes in a particular year, and then decades later, that same ounce of silver bought the same item. So it generally holds its value over time. So number one is remove the sales tax. Number two, remove capital gains tax. Number three is to reaffirm gold and silver as money as required by the Constitution. So in 2011, this is back to Sound Money Defense League, Utah became the first state to do this by recognizing gold and silver coins that are issued by the United States as money. This should be one of the most simple things. I'm not sure if a lot of people really get what happens with this. To me, I think it's a big deal. Other people, I think, put this down the list. I think it's important to first treat it as money because everything else kind of flows out from that. If for whatever reason you have to just remove the sales tax or the capital gains tax or whatever first, whatever you can get done in your area is positive. All of these things chip away at the monopoly on money that is the Federal Reserve System that shouldn't exist in the first place. But I think treating gold and silver as money is really important. Because first of all, that's how it's supposed to be. That's what it says in Article 1, Section 10 of the Constitution. And then on top of it, it kind of gets in people's head, like, wait a second, this is money? I had no idea. And then some smart businesses actually can get on board and do things. And I'm going to get to that just in a moment. Here again at Sound Money Defense, they say Utah's action is important for several reasons. First, it helps to educate Americans about the historic role of gold and silver that they have played in America and elsewhere as the most widely accepted form of money. Second, it clearly identifies them as money rather than an investment. Investments can be taxed while money is not taxed. Money is a medium of exchange and a store of value, not an investment in the usual sense. And the interesting thing is, after this passed, some really smart people, and I've yet to meet them yet, but my buddy Robert Scott Bell, who does a Monday, Sunday through Friday show on YouTube as well, on health freedom and issues on those lines, he also is really on board with Sound Money as well. And he lives in Utah, and he's visited United Precious Metals Association, UPMA.org. This is, I don't know how else to put it. I shouldn't call it a bank because it's not part of the Federal Reserve System. But they're basically here. The United Precious Metals Association, UPMA, this is from their website, was established in response to the passage of the Utah Specie Legal Tender Act in early 2011. UPMA aims to provide viable choices in currency, offering accounts denominated in U.S. minted gold and silver dollars, as well as new gold-backed accounts. And this is really cool. So basically, you can make a deposit. You purchase gold and silver. You deposit it. I'm not sure what features they have. From at least at one point, it was very easily accessible on the website. You could get a debit card like a standard with a Visa, MasterCard label on it, whatever, that it worked through the system so that you could go to a store, you could make a purchase online using your gold in your account at UPMA. You would just swipe the card and it would do an automatic conversion in the back end. For those of you who follow cryptocurrency or have ever made a payment with cryptocurrency, this is the same type of system that they use that is most prominent in the crypto world. Companies like Coinbase, BitPay, for example, they provide solutions for merchants to accept crypto online, and many people do an automatic conversion to US dollars. So it just takes the conversion rate at that point. The company charges a small fee. I'm not sure exactly how that works at UPMA, but they're working at least towards making that a viable option. The same thing is happening in Texas with the state-run. Well, it's run by a private company, but it was established by state law, the Texas Bullion Depository, which I'll cover as well here. So they have these basically storage accounts for gold and silver where you can deposit, withdraw, spend as well, which is really important because it's only an investment if you're just buying and holding, but it becomes money when you use it as a medium of exchange. But they have this thing called the gold back. And I've seen these. I was at an event where Robert was, and his kid brought a handful of these things. They've literally printed out a local, this is how they put it, the Utah gold back is the first local voluntary currency to be made of spendable, beautiful, physical gold. They're much larger than a U.S. dollar, but they have the gold embedded. I'm not sure if it's weaved into the note, but this is a voluntary local currency that isn't claiming to be legal tender. It's used for barter, but some people may accept items in barter, and you can get a $5 gold note. You can get a single gold back note for $2.57, for example, and they have an exchange rate on this as well. So it's a pretty incredible thing. So people are putting up these signs. You can get a $1, $5, a $10, $50, $25. And the way they put it is, the gold back solves a 2,600-year-old problem in that gold can be spent in small increments. So even if there was an EMP and you had no access to the internet, you could still spend gold and silver in this type of a gold back. I'm not sure if it's going to catch on. I think it's an incredibly creative approach, and it's really a smart strategy to try to push this forward. Whether the market actually wants it or not will remain to be seen, but they just launched this sometime this year, from my understanding. I've seen the products. They're absolutely beautiful. I'll probably get some myself because I'm so on board with the notion. And at very least, it's an educational tool. And I think you can pick those up over at upma.org or goldback.com. So this is reestablishing gold and silver as money. And then UPMA is not only providing the service, they're also trying to really show people that gold and silver is money and can be spendable. And then the idea is that it generally could create, and this is what the great William Green, who passed away this year, unfortunately, writing about the Constitutional Tender Act, he gave a presentation to the Austrian Scholars Conference a number of years ago, and we've modeled a lot of our work on what he did, basically saying that this could create a reverse Gresham's effect, that when people start seeing, well, why does that gold that I have, that goldback thing that I have, why does that hold its value, but this thing keeps buying less and less? The notion is that over time, as you have competing currencies, and that's why Ron Paul believes in competing currencies as well, people can learn. There is a chance for people to learn that real money is better than fiat. That doesn't mean it will play out like that. Maybe the markets will say something different, but we at least have a chance taking this kind of approach. And these goldbacks are just incredible. So they have a whole guide on how to get them too. And then the fourth piece is to create gold depositories. Texas is the first state in the country to do this. In 2015, Governor Abbott passed a law that was a bill was introduced by Giovanni Capriglione. I believe I'm pronouncing his name correctly, but he has been working on sound money issues for quite a long time. They've already started accepting deposits. They're going to have multiple branches around the state. They're going to create a scenario where anyone anywhere in the world, I think you can already create an account at the Bullion Depository in Texas, just like at UPMA. I tend to lean more towards UPMA because they're a private business rather than a government-backed, a government-sponsored business. But I think either way, whatever is best for you works great. But the Bullion Depository is open in Texas, and they're in the early stages. They're accepting deposits. They're going to be building multiple branches. And just earlier this month, on Election Day, November 5th, 2019, voters in Texas passed a state constitutional amendment so that gold and silver or whatever is held in the Bullion Depository specifically would not be hit with additional taxes. Again, making it more functional for actual commerce and trade. So Abbott signed this law in 2015. The depository received its first deposits in the summer of 2018. And Texas voters on November 5th, this is from a report by Mike Meharry, passed a state constitutional amendment that exempts precious metals stored in the Texas Bullion Depository from certain taxes. Passage of the amendment, Mike writes, takes another step toward the everyday use of gold and silver in financial transactions in the Lone Star State and undermines the Federal Reserve's monopoly on money. But if they're providing accounts for everyone everywhere, it's not just for Texas. So this has the potential to be huge. It passed by a razor-thin margin, and I think that goes back. It was 51.7% to 48.3%. A lot of people just wanted to keep taxing. If you were going to, okay, now we have this bullion depository, but anybody who puts deposits in there, they're going to get taxes on having it sit there or if they have gains. I'm not sure exactly what the taxes were, but they're removing those taxes because simultaneously the legislature already passed the law to remove that pending approval by voters with this state constitutional amendment, which went into effect. So I think that's going to go into effect at the beginning of 2020. So those are the four things. Remove the sales tax, remove capital gains tax on a state level, reestablish gold and silver as money, like at upma.org, create a state-based bullion depository is also helpful and gets away from the Federal Reserve. But then also there are many people who support cryptocurrency, especially if you're watching online. And Wyoming, which has also taken some positive steps to support gold and silver as sound money, are basically taking the same approach to cryptocurrency. And there are 13 different blockchain laws that have been passed over the last few years that really take big steps in this way. They're treating some cryptos as legal tender in the state. They're encouraging businesses to get there. So whatever is best for you, whatever you choose as your path, for a competing currency. I don't care what it is. To be honest with you, I think according to the Constitution, and what the founders had to say, we're looking really at gold and silver as money. But if someone wants to trade bottle caps or buttons, whatever it may be, it doesn't matter. It should be your choice. And the less that people are locked in and choosing to use Federal Reserve notes, the more options they have, the more it exposes the weakness of the Federal Reserve note. So I encourage people, whether it's gold and silver, whether it's cryptocurrency, whether it's BTC, Bitcoin, any of these things, I am fully on board with all of that. And before we go today, this I think is a great quote for the day. And I'm sorry it does not fit really well here. Let's see if I can bring it up here. Hold on for those of you watching. There we go. Richard Henry Lee. He says, "The loss of our liberty seems at present more likely to be derived from the state of our currency than from all other causes." This was a letter that he sent to his friend Patrick Henry, I believe, in 1778. And if that is just, that is probably just as true today, if not more, than it was back then in 1778. Well, I hope you guys found this really interesting and educational. I want to take a look and see what's going on in the live chat. I've just basically ignored this. This is a really meaty conversation. I apologize for that. Bob Brewer says, you got Capriglia only. Mostly right. He's a turncoat, though. I don't know. Well, I mean, personally, the way I look at these things is legislators are not our friends. You may find one person once in a while, in a lifetime, that really is a friend to the Constitution and liberty all the time. But a lot of legislators are very good on one issue. And we're going to work with them on that one issue as much as we can. Because here in California, you find a lot of these crazy leftists in the state house are actually pretty good on things like asset forfeiture or warrantless surveillance, but they're terrible on everything else. But that doesn't mean we don't want to stop asset forfeiture. We can't take an approach. We could never succeed if we take an approach that people have to agree with us on everything. And I'm not even thinking, Bob, that you're taking that view, but I just want to reiterate the way that I approach these things. We work with basically everybody. We've flown a blimp over the NSA data center with the Electronic Frontier Foundation and Greenpeace. We'll make a coalition to bring attention. And what we want to do is not just preach to the choir. We want to work with people that are definitely outside that choir. So people start thinking, you know, that 10th Amendment Center, they're pretty good on surveillance. Maybe they can be trusted. What do they have to say about this? And once in a while, we'll break through to people. And we've been taking that approach for a long time. I think it is effective. It's very slow, but our job is to get some things done. So I appreciate you mentioning that, Bob. And I definitely am not trying to down talk that. You may be on to something, but I've only followed his work on the sound money issue as well. I appreciate Shane Lackey and Steve Ewing, your feedback on the show. Jay Armstrong, Give an Inch, Take a Mile, Crooked Congress are bought and paid for with notes. Bob Brewer. Okay, here's a follow-up from Bob. I agree with you, Michael. He looked like a conservative champion, but the only conservative thing he accomplished was the gold bill. And that's generally what we find is in all of these guys. They come in, women as well, they come in and they get a lot of support from the grassroots and they're a disappointment on basically everything. But if we can get them to just ignore everything, if we can get them to focus on something that they're really passionate about and stop doing all the other bad garbage, then we can have some wins. Adisto Joe, government-based, run, controlled, mandated, dictated, anything is not the answer. I absolutely agree on that as well. Essential Freedom, I saw a cryptocurrency that goes on a diamond standard. It's actually back. There's a company called Paxos that creates one of these stable coins, kind of like the U.S. dollar Tether that I was talking about. And I've only lightly looked into it, but they have something called Pax Gold. It's traded on some major exchanges like Kraken, for example. And they have a one-to-one backing. Each crypto is backed by a piece of gold in a London vault. So that can still be confiscated, of course, but this might be another way to do electronic transactions with real gold as well. Jeffrey Bryan says, acts are bills, currency is bills, and the bills that come through the letterbox are really just statements of the tax scene on the state of your mind. Shane Lackey, instant payment is peer-to-peer. Absolutely. Dan Reed, I did a podcast with one of the members of their board of directors. Was this at UPMA? That's pretty incredible. who also, oh, you own some of the Utah Goldback. I need to get on that. Send me a message. I'm curious what you think of those, Dan, when you get a chance. Shane Lackey says, property. Yeah, but whose? Fed notes are all Jay Powell's on loan at interest to end users. Usury is criminal activity. HJR 192 says, John Dozebush took the gold out and replaced it with U.S. Corporation. I'm not sure what this one is all about. Oh, and Bob Brewer, again, explaining the constitutional amendment. It made the gold and its appreciation tax-free. So that sounds similar to capital gain. So as it appreciates in value, why just sitting there, it's not property, it's money. So just because they're printing more dollars, why should you get a penalty on owning something that actually holds its value against those dollars? Anyways, again, I hope you guys learned something. I hope you found something interesting here. I hope you have some actions that you can take in your own area. I suggest starting over at soundmoneydefense.org if you want to get an understanding of what's going on in your own state. Otherwise, feel free to email me over at team@10thamendmentcenter.com. I'll be happy to send back some model legislation or whatever you might be asking about in your area. I hope you have a great Monday. Again, I hope you had a great weekend. If you support the show, $2 a month does a lot. $2 in fiat money. We'll continue to spend it. If you want to send us crypto, if you want to send us gold, shoot me an email. We'll get it all figured out. You can also go to 10thamendmentcenter.com/members if you want to do an online credit card payment or PayPal for $2 a month. That does go a long, long way. Again, I'm rambling at this point. Thanks for spending some time with me. I hope you have an awesome day. We'll see you next time here on The Path to Liberty.